Well, hi there. Welcome to Your Baby's Brilliant Brain. I'm Dr. Christine Anderson, and with me is
Dr. Toxel Ruck.
And we're here to help you help your baby optimize their brain development from conception through the first few years of life.
So we have a very special guest on with us today. Thank you so much for taking time to come and talk to all these new moms, pregnant moms, parents. We have with us today Nasiba Adilov. She's the co-founder of The Tot, which is an online destination and storefront for eco-conscious mothers and their children. So from my understanding, I've been reading a lot about you, especially these past few days, because you have such an amazing story to tell, and who better to tell it than you? So what I want to ask is, how did you even get into basically this whole eco-conscious aspect of parenting? And as far as I can see, this goes not just to babies, but also to mothers as well.
Yes, very much so. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on today. I'm very flattered. And I'm originally from Russia. I came to the States when I was 15. I won an English contest that was sponsored by U.S. Department of Education. And it was to promote basically friendly exchange between post-Cold War states. So, you know, as a child that grew up during communism, the state to go to school was like a dream. It was like winning a lottery. So, you know, I was one of five students from my region that got to go. And that was very, very exciting. I was only 15 years old. And, you know, very, since I was a kid, I was always, you know, a big dreamer. I dreamt huge. I manifested ever since I can remember myself. And I really truly believe that if you follow your intuition and instinct, it will always, your gut will always tell you what to do. So those sort of ideals kind of stayed with me throughout my life. And when I moved to the States, I went to high school, then I went to college, and, you know, it wasn't until later that I really found myself in this space of like wanting to live a non-toxic life and then wanting to teach others about non-toxic life. I became very passionate about nutrition after graduate school when I was living in New York. As a friend of mine, Miranda Kerr, who was a very close friend of mine at the time, introduced me to it. She actually studied nutrition, and being from Australia, they were just so much more nutrition focused. She introduced me to quite like a whole new world that I did not know at the time, because I moved to the States when I was 15. So everything I knew was just like Doritos and junk food. And, you know, and like, I did not understand. And growing up in Russia, you drink herbs, you drink tea every day. You know, you eat super clean farm to table food. And, you know, and no one talks about calories. So when I came to the States, you know, it was just a completely different world. I didn't know, that was so naive. So I just kind of, I went along with it. And so that was my first introduction. And I actually got so interested in it. I started studying it, learning more about it, and became very conscious about, you know, what I put into my body. And so that kind of led me down the path of like also wanting to use non-toxic products on myself. And then when I became pregnant, that really opened up my eyes, because as a new mom, like I had no idea what it was like to be a mom, to be a parent. How to choose products? It was so overwhelming. Like the whole journey of motherhood was overwhelming, because everybody's got an opinion. Everyone comes to you with their opinion. Everybody tries to tell you what to do, what they think is right. And then you become overwhelmed with so many ideas, so many lists, so many people telling you what's right. When in reality, you should just be listening to yourself and your intuition. You were born to do this. Like, you know what to do as a mother if you just listen to yourself. And so I just found it very difficult. One, I found it difficult that there was nobody online in the space. Like, it was the most archaic space that you can think of when I started out, when I became pregnant. You could not even build a baby registry online, let alone like shop with ease. Like, you would at, on like Shopbop or, I don't know, Net-a-Porter. You know, you could go online and shop with ease on all these different websites, order whatever you need. But, you know, the baby space was completely archaic. Everybody was, you know, brick and mortar. You had to go to a store to do your registry. And no one really was online. So I was like, what is going on with this? And me having come from, prior to this, I was working in the fashion world and I was working with a digital company. So, I mean, I was all about digital and we were working with millennials and we were building these companies that, you know, attracted millennials. So I was like, as a customer, like, I don't want to shop like this. I don't want to go to a store. Like, I want to be able to shop online just like I do for myself or anything else. And why isn't anybody giving me like the right opinions? Why isn't anybody giving me, why isn't anybody curating this space? I really couldn't find one website that I could actually trust, like not even a store that I could actually trust and go to and be like, I can buy anything and everything with confidence and not worry about it. The only store that I liked, and they were primarily brick and mortar and their website was like not great, was a store in San Francisco called Sprout. You know, but that again, like I did not live in San Francisco. So I just couldn't figure out why no one was doing this. So that's basically how the idea for the Tot was born. It was, you know, primarily to make shopping for babies easier, bring it online, make it enjoyable, and make it less overwhelming by curating it. And then a big passion of mine was to make it eco-friendly, to make it safe and non-toxic, and, you know, and gain that trust of customers. And I really wanted to bring in an educational aspect. I wanted, just like myself, new parents to come with questions and to be able to learn, but learn not from me, in my opinion, but learn from experts. So we actually work with so many different experts that, you know, vary from pediatricians to lactation consultants to nutritionists to child psychologists to teachers. And they all write original content for us that's so helpful, not only for me, but, you know, all of our customers. So basically that's how I arrived at launching our platform. And today, you know, probably the biggest thing that one thing that I'm most proud of is the fact that we really have become this destination for safe, non-toxic and eco-friendly and sustainable products for children. The fact that people trust us. And we go, you know, one step above on anything and everything. You know, we test every single product before we sell it. So we won't sell anything on our site unless it passes our test. And having this, you know, beautiful testimonials from new moms or existing moms and parents that will come to us and say, thank you so much for, you know, being there for me. I went through a miscarriage and I read an article on your website and made me feel so good. Or, you know, I was going through IVF and I read, you know, a testimonial of this influencer talk about her journey and it made me feel great. And, you know, I suffered from postpartum depression and reading this article made me, you know, realize what the signs were. So I'm better prepared, you know, with my second child. So, you know, these really are types of things that make us so passionate about what we do and, you know, get us to work so hard and, you know, want to continue doing, being these warriors in this space.
That's incredible. And it's just so amazing how you took your struggle and, you know, those overwhelming feelings as a first-time mom, and then you put them into something where you're like, no, I want to help future moms, new moms, pregnant moms. I don't want them to have to go through what I went through. And so you created, and I've seen that the website, it's incredible. It is so extensive. And as I said, it's not just for products for babies, it's for pregnant moms as well. And having that support for them and support for new moms, a place to just go to where you can trust the quality of the information that you're getting. And so that's what we really like to have on here, is hearing that you guys test the products and that you really look into them. And it's,
can we hear more about the testing?
Yeah,
a little bit more. So about basically, what you do.
Yeah, we work with third-party company, and we test Every single product before we sell it. So we test them for, you know, it depends on what it is, because we sell anything from apparel to skincare, to toys and gear. So it depends what category it is, but we look for, you know, chemicals, we look for where is it made, what type of dyes are used, you know, the obvious things like PVCs, like VOCs, like fire retardants, and actually under each, on every page, under each item, you'll see a box that says the TOT test, and it will tell you what it's free of. And then if you have more questions beyond that, you can email us. So what we do is we make sure that you know it passes what we deem to be TOT test, what we deem to be safe. I would say we go a step above and beyond, because, like, for example, there's so many companies that will pose as natural or clean or organic or sustainable, and it will just go on and on about their list of everything they do not contain. But then you flip it and you look at the ingredient list and you still find, you know, irritants, and you still find things that, like, I wouldn't use. I think that really is what makes a big difference between like us and many other players. I mean, for example, just to give you my personal opinion, like I am so thorough about every product that I use personally. I use on my children. You know, I don't only check EWG unless it has a one score in EWG. I don't really want to use it. Like, I don't even go to like a three. So for me, this is super important. So, for example, we launched our private label line, which is matching pajamas, basics for children, and now we're venturing into toys. So it was a huge point for us to make sure that the factory was safe, you know, that the manufacturing process was all safe. So we're super transparent with that. That the dyes that we use are safe. That the cotton, kind of cotton that we use, has never been treated by pesticides. So, you know, we work with only Pima cotton or organic cotton. We work with non-toxic dyes, and we go and we check out the factories that we work with in Peru and India, because again, you know, like I believe that really is important. You know, like these are fabrics that don't have any fragrance. These are fabrics that have never been touched by pesticides. So. Those are the things that, like, I really strongly believe in and care about. And I think that especially as a new parent or somebody who's sort of on this journey or on this path to discovering, I think it's so important to educate people about this as well, because I think that there's quite a few people that are venturing into the space of non-toxic and clean and trying to live this non-toxic lifestyle. But there's just so many companies that are marketing, you know, it's really purely PR marketing, that are marketing products and saying, we are non-toxic, we are sustainable, you know, we're so great, and we created packaging that's sustainable. We work with, you know, biodegradable packaging, for example. But then, you know, and we're, for example, a detergent company, and then you flip it over and you see ingredients that are like toxins, that are irritants, that are not great for you. And then you're just like, this is really misinformation. So
the greenwashing effect.
Yes, greenwashing, exactly.
The appearance of being eco-friendly, the appearance of being non-toxic, it's really hard. I mean, I've come across this as well. I'm sure you have too, where you look at a product and it looks really good on the surface, but then you start really delving into and investigating. You mentioned EWG, which is Environmental Working Group for our listeners out there, which is a great place to start when you're looking at your products, because you can plug in what you're using and it will give you a score. And then you can look at the individual chemicals in that product and look at what effect it's having for toxicity and reproductive issues and so forth. So you can actually become informed about what's in there. Because you cannot just take what is written on that label, especially their claims, at face value. And this is really fascinating to me because I really don't know any other company out there that is doing the kind of investigative work that you are doing when it comes to children's products.
I don't either.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. You know, this is really surprising to me, and thank goodness, and leave it to a mompreneur who goes, you know what? There's nothing out there. I need to create this. So thankfully for that, now we do have something. And I would love if you would talk a little bit more about some of those common chemicals you are seeing, especially in children's products, baby products, that are really damaging, because I know you've done investigation into this and you know.
You know, when I started out and when the idea of the talk came to me, really, I found out that a lot of popular products, like, for example, there's this pacifier that is on every new mom's list called Wabanaba, I think it's called, or Wabadaba. And it's a little silicone pacifier with a toy, an adorable toy attached to it. You'll see babies in strollers with these pacifiers everywhere. And I was like, what an adorable pacifier. Let's do a check on this. And then when we email the company with a list of questions, because our first step, what our buyers do, we email the companies and we ask them to answer these questions, right? They're very thorough questions. And if they start to try to steer clear, that's already, you know, sort of
a red flag.
Exactly. And then, so when this gets passed on to our third party testing company, they kind of go deeper than that. But usually companies that are doing great work, that are truly non-toxic, they are so transparent, they go above and beyond to tell you about everything that they're doing. So that's kind of, you know, in my opinion, how you sort of determine, you know, as a first step. But I found out that even things like baby mattresses and baby cribs were full of chemicals. You know, plastic mattresses, they're made out of foam. Your baby, newborn baby that's being laid down on this plastic mattress, and then, you know, these tiny particles that are going up in the air, they're full of plastic, and your baby is breathing that in. And that's not to say that when they start to chew on things and they're chewing off the paint that's full of fire retardant or, you know, PVCs, you know, and this kind of stuff is truly harmful. But then think about the paint you are using to paint their nursery, you know, that's often full of lead. Think about fire retardants on beautiful carpets that you're buying and, you know, fabrics that you're using for cushions and, you know, the furniture in the baby room and, you know, and curtains. All of that mostly is all that fabric is usually always treated with fire retardants. So, you know, you're putting this newborn baby that's just come into this world, that's the most vulnerable thing in the world, in this like world full of toxins. And that they're spending, you know, 12 hours a day sleeping in this room. So I just think that we have it so backwards, like we've become so domesticated and so separated from nature that we don't even go outside. Like we think that an hour walk a day with a baby is adequate. And, you know, like we forgot what it's like to walk on grass. Like we wear shoes all day long, which, you know, create back problems and bad posture. And actually literally, you know, your toes are supposed to be spread out and you're wearing shoes that are like pushing them together and, you know, creating all kinds of problems for you. But it's just, and then we're sitting in front of computer screens and, you know, our children now are sitting in front of computer screens all day long. They're not playing outside. So it's like, it's a huge problem. The problem is that it is this whole white noise of society, right? The society that tells us that all these things are the right things. And you've got to start asking questions like, but it's a right thing for whom, right? Like, is it truly good for me to sit at home? You know, think about how many pesticides there are. Think about fire retardants. Think about, you know, lead. Think about the fabrics that are used into like the items that you bring into your home. And you're sitting there breathing all of that in your house all day long. Then you open a window, all that pollution comes right in. You guys live in LA. You know, so, you know, the air quality is terrible. And then you open your faucet and the water that's running out is full of pharmaceuticals or pesticides if you're living like near a golf course or, you know, near a hotel.
Yes, we just had on a water expert talking about that. I think we just released that.
Yes,
you'll have to listen to that.
On Monday, yeah.
But you know what? You started talking about a pacifier, and this is something I want to hear more about because it's something we're putting directly in our baby's mouth. So,
yeah. Well, when we tested this pacifier, sorry, I just kind of went off.
All right. We'll reel you right back in.
Yeah, thanks. We discovered that the toy that was attached to the actual pacifier, there was nothing wrong with it. It was a silicone pacifier. But the toy that's attached to the pacifier actually contained, you know, harmful chemicals that your baby shouldn't be chewing on because the toy is not there for the baby to chew on. The pacifier is there for them to, but every single baby puts that in their mouth because they think of it as their, like, you know, lovey or whatever. So, that's how it sort of started for me when I figured out, like, oh my gosh, this most common item that's on every person's registry is not safe. Then this mattress that comes with pretty much, like, you walk into like a Restoration Hardware or Pottery Barn Kids and you see this beautiful crib and it's an emotional attachment. And you buy this crib and you just assume as a parent that this is safe because it's for babies. And then you bring it home with this plastic mattress. And whatever paint they use, they may contain lead or fire retardants. And there it is, you know, it's you bring your baby from the hospital and you lay your baby down in this crib. And that's when I became so passionate about like taking this message and spreading it and telling everybody I knew about, you know, how to sort of protect themselves. So I created this list at first and I went to every parent that I knew and I just, you know, I sort of imposed myself on them and I was like, this is what you got to do. I've tested this. These are right. You know, don't buy this other stuff. And then a funny story is that when I actually, the first trade show we went to with the talk, I had a list of companies that I liked that I tested myself personally and I knew they were safe. And there was about 200 companies and, you know, majority of them said no to me because they were like, what do you mean you're going to be online? Like, we only work with brick and mortars, like this kind of stuff, like that we don't understand that. So, you know, it was very funny because I had to basically convince each and every one of them that digital was the future and that you know, that they're making a mistake. So I got on a phone with every single one of them and I didn't stop until I convinced them all. And, you know, like through my passion. Today, I'm so proud to say that we work with majority of them still. And we work with so many amazing companies. These are mom pop shops. These are, you know, startups. These are just like mompreneurs and some which are, you know, great big companies that have been doing amazing work for years. Like a company called Happe, that's a German company, makes wooden toys, educational toys. You know, they're a big company, but they just are so good. They're so responsible. They're eco-friendly. They do great work. So, you know, these are purpose-led companies. And when we at Heart are also purpose-led, it really is inspiring to work with other purpose-led companies and give them a platform and help them grow and, you know, and educate them. And most amazing story I can tell you is we've been looking for a baby doll. There is no baby doll that's non-toxic. Basically just did not exist.
Really?
Couldn't find a baby doll. Unless you buy hand sewn, you know, fabric ones. And we had, you know, knitted ones, fabric ones, we had tons of them. But some people, you know, because of their childhood, they have this affinity to, like, you know, a rubber baby doll. Nobody was made. I'm like, why is nobody making rubber baby dolls? Like, we can make non-toxic rubber toys, you know, from actual rubber plant and rubber tree. Why can't they make a doll out of it? So one company finally made a rubber doll. And it was a beautiful doll. And we were so excited. We got this doll. We started testing it. The doll's shoes contained PVC, the shoes. So we were like, we can't sell this doll. You guys, can you sell this doll to us without the shoes? No, we can't sell it to you without the shoes. We even considered taking the shoes off and then like selling the doll. But, you know, we can't do it because we're in operation. You know, we work with a warehouse. Like, we can't really have somebody sitting there taking off the shoes off the doll. So We started working with them. It took us 6 months, and we convinced them to change and take the PVC out of the shoes and make this dough without this chemical.
Congrats.
So, you know, now we are actually working with quite a few companies and making an impact in this way and working together with them by saying, you have an amazing product. Let's make it better. So, so that part is very exciting.
So have you had a lot of resistance when you've tried to, you know, because you're coming into these companies, I'm sure they have their status quo, but then you would think, hey, I'm educating you about a chemical in your stuff that's potentially, or not potentially, it's harmful. So you get a lot of resistance at first, or do you find that they're willing to change?
We're pretty good at, like, we're like scanners. So when we see something, we're pretty good at identifying what's going to be good, what's not going to be good. So, you know, a few bits and pieces here and there, and it's mostly with company that's a great company that's already doing great, that's putting out wonderful product, and they might have something that they just didn't look into. They didn't know that their factory is using this one particular fabric or, material that's not safe by our standards. So, you know, we haven't had too much resistance. Companies have been good. And if they haven't, we just drop them. Like it's for us, it's a very straightforward process. We no longer work with them. And, you know, we found some resistance in when we were working with fashion brands. You know, for example, we would say, we need to know is that if any of the hardware contains lead, you know, and then you get like a runaround or people don't respond. So we just, you know, but because the windows were so short in terms of like closing orders and fashion, we just kind of then lost out on that brand. But now that we don't have fashion, we don't have that headache. We don't have to worry about it. So we don't buy anything seasonal.
But you're making your own brand now.
Yes, but this is basic. It's basics. So it's t-shirts, it's hoodies, it's, you know, shorts, leggings, and then matching family pajamas.
Cute.
And then lots and lots of newborn staples. So from onesies and leggings to like, they're just like the most delicious, supple, incredible fabric. I'm obsessed. Like my kids wear this and I wear this every day. So.
Another question?
Yeah, actually I do. So you mentioned the pacifier is something that you comment, and not the pacifier in itself, but the toy that's attached to it. And that's something that you've seen a majority of babies having. Are there any other products that you have seen or heard about in working with the Tot where people, you know, you would recommend for people to buy from the Tot instead? What are some of the more commonly seen like toxic products for babies?
Yeah.
I recommend that parents buy everything from the Tot because we test it and we make sure it's safe, first and foremost, not like as a, you know, me trying to push anybody, you know, to shop for me because of any financial gain, but just because as a mom, I wouldn't go anywhere else, but I don't go anywhere else but the Tot. For especially like staples, because we've tested that rocker, we've tested that bed, we've tested, you know, these sheets that you're going to use, we've tested the rug. So, you know, unless you are yourself doing that, if you don't have the capacity or the time, then, you know, all those answers are there for you. There are quite a few products that I think that you don't need as a mom that get pushed on you, like these baby rockers, for example, or these baby chairs. Like there's this one, I don't know if it still exists, called Bambo. I think it's called a Bambo, something like that. It's literally like a kind of a silicone-looking chair that people sit their child in, and it's horrendous for their development, for their posture. It's awful. Also, baby bouncers are terrible for babies' postures. Baby walkers, terrible. Like, you know, we don't sell any of that. So swings are amazing. We sell swings, but obviously not when they're young babies. And we have this one product that's amazing that's called the Bobbin. And it's kind of like a little table that you can set your baby, that baby stands in. It's not bouncing. It's not walking. It's just standing upright so that you can put your baby there in case you need to cook, you know, or you know, if you don't want to lay your baby on the floor, and the baby can, you know, be upright after the baby is able to hold their back and look at you. Same thing is like, you know, with our high chairs, we're very careful about which high chairs we recommend because of a lot of them have, you know, the wrong kind of position. They're bad for babies' postures as well. But for example, my favorite is one called Stoka. It's been around for so many years. It's made out of reclaimed wood, and they worked with like a Scandinavian designer to create it. And the amazing thing is it grows with a child. So it goes from baby to toddler, and it turns into a stool. So it's not a disposable product. It's actually a product that's like so sustainable and will grow. You'll never have to throw it away. And most high chairs are made to be really high. So you are like standing there and feeding your baby. And that's really is a separation between your child spending that time, that meal time with you, which I don't believe in. I think that you have to bring your child to you during the meal time, meals as a family. So this chair is on the same level as a table. So you can move the chair, you'd be at the same level as a child. The child is on the same level as you at the table, and you can feed them rather than you standing up and feeding them away from your own meal.
Yeah, you're bringing them into the family experience versus them feeling kind of separated because of, you know, that height distinction. Absolutely.
And I love the fact that you're thinking about ergonomics as well. Of course, being chiropractors, this is what we're all about. And I agree with you with those contraptions. I just was taping a course for chiropractors talking about milestone development, and anything you put your child into restricts their motion and therefore inhibits their developmental aspects. So that can create delays if you're putting them into the bouncy seats and the saucers and the whatnots. So we're on the same page there, because I'm always like, less is more for
babies. I really truly believe less is more. It's more sustainable. I much rather buy quality over quantity. Buy good quality products that will last you longer, that are made well, that are safe, versus, you know, a million things. And, you know, it's also too distracting. Another thing that a lot of young parents go for is like these bright colored toys. They're awful for babies learning because they don't encourage imaginative thinking. They don't encourage, you know, your child to use their brain. It's much more challenging for a child to take a wooden toy or sticks and figure out what to do with them, and versus a toy that you're going to push the button, it's going to laugh, it's going to smile, it's going to light up, it's going to be bright colors. It's not leaving much for them, you know, to do, right? So it's doing everything for them. And of course, they're much more attracted to that. If you're going to introduce them to that, they'll be always much more attracted, just like they will always be more attracted to a screen. So if you, you know, emphasize these things early on, that's why this toy company, the private label toy company that we are rolling out, is, you know, sort of it's very open-ended play oriented and Montessori focused, and it's wooden. So, you know, one, we can guarantee that it's safe, and two, we can guarantee that it's not too much. There's no like buttons, and there's no lights and sounds, and like it's not overstimulating.
Yeah, it's child led. Anything with usually that requires batteries, I usually take them out, and I've got like a fire engine here. It's supposed to do something, and then children will come up and go, well, it's not working. Go, yes, it is. It's child driven. You have to make the sounds and you have to move it. Like, you actually have to have some input into that.
Yes.
Well, and the thing I like too about, again, what I've been seeing with all of these toys and what I think parents miss out on is the simpler a toy is, the more likely that there's no toxic chemical in it, in terms of, because babies are going to put things in their mouths. That's part of their play. That's part of their investigation. So it's not just the food and the water that's going in. You're thinking about, well, babies are going to be putting most of their toys at some point in their mouth. So why wouldn't you want to make sure that these toys don't have any harmful additives coming off of them? Because they will, when they're putting them in the mouth. So something for people, the listeners, to definitely consider, because it's something that isn't addressed enough, I think. So my question too, and again, this is more for the listeners because we have a good idea of why, but why would parents want to pay attention and seek out non-toxic car seats, high chairs because the babies are just sitting in them. I mean, so what's the big deal? And again, asking more from an audience perspective and some perspective that I've heard.
100% we have to look for specifically when it comes to car seats, because they are just covered in toxins. They're covered in fire retardants. And when I started, there was literally not a single car seat company that didn't have fire retardants. And because we were a one-stop shop, we had to sell car seats. My idea at that point was I'm going to focus on which car seat is going to perform the best during a car crash, so that I made a choice based on the best ratings and best performance, because I could not choose one without fire retardants. Today, I'm so happy to say we work with an amazing company called Kleck and their car seats, and they made an infant car seat that has no fire retardants. And they're using wool and natural fire retardant. This is how screwed up this world is, that we have had wool for millions of years. We know it's a natural fire retardant, yet we want to buy chemicals from, you know, these chemical companies and cover everything in these chemicals versus put wool into furniture, put wool into baby products, much safer. And I think that the public and is really truly waking up to this, and people are starting to ask the right questions, and the new generation of mom are a lot more plugged in, a lot more aware. This is pushing these companies to really reevaluate, make better choices, which makes me really happy.
Well, yeah, because the consumer drives what the companies will make. Yeah. If there's a demand, then they are going to do it, but they have to know that people want this, and people aren't going to know that they want it until they're educated why they shouldn't. And so this is, you know, I'm sitting here listening to you talk going, where were you when I had my children? Talk about, there were so many fewer choices, but there really wasn't anything out there that was natural and non-toxic. Occasionally you might find a toy, a wooden toy, etc. But I'm sitting here thinking my children grew up in a chemical stew, basically, because of
actually, it's a lot worse today. You should be grateful that your children grew up not today. Today is truly the concerning time. You know, think about the EMF exposure that our kids are exposed to every day in homes, in schools, sporting events, anywhere they go, everybody's got a cell phone. So you are literally constantly surrounded by EMF.
So with this EMFs definitely being an issue more today, and yes, I am grateful that my children really didn't have to grow up with all that bombardment. And I do think that it's a huge issue. And we've actually had someone come on our show talking about this. My question to you is now, with this EMF bombardment, are you working on any products or companies for mitigation of some of the EMFs, especially things like baby monitors, where people don't realize that they're bombarding their babies with EMFs that, you know, every night when they're supposed to be repairing and renewing and growing, and anything that you're working on?
Literally, we didn't have a baby monitor for years. We only, the team only found a baby monitor, I think, maybe 9 months ago. We got our first baby monitor, and it was like the one that you know, this company really said that they were very, very low emitting EMF device. We had our third party person check it, and she said, really, this is the only baby monitor I would approve. So we decided to go with them just because we got inundated with questions about baby monitors. Everybody wanted a baby monitor. So this is the safest one we could possibly offer. But in terms of working with companies that are, you know, in terms of mitigating it, this is actually something that we've talked about in our board meetings, that we've discussed, we feel passionate about. We would love to. We're still a small company, so we can't take on so much. But we'd love to also be able to help people choose the right paint, the right fabrics, like truly, you know, be able to detoxify their home, you know, because there are certain types of paints you can use to help with, you know, mitigating the EMFs, like, you know, selling the devices that you could use at home to go around your house and figuring out, you know, what are the biggest culprits in your home. But more than that, I really wanted to become this kind of a non-toxic resource so people could come to us and we'd give them amazing experts. And these experts then would could help them, could answer more questions that we would, you know, what we are doing in terms of educating people, we are doing coverage and we're talking about all these different aspects, especially when it pertains to babies, to try and educate people more on this. It's just that that part of the business, in terms of growing more into like a lifestyle, non-toxic lifestyle website, it's going to take us some time, but it's something that we feel passionate about, something that we talk about. And unfortunately, there hasn't been many companies that are very well aware in the children's space and they're doing something specifically for kids, sadly. And it's actually really difficult to truly detox your home, especially if you live in an apartment, because, you know, you have everybody else. But what I did learn about EMFs is that even if you live in an apartment, other people's EMF modems don't affect, they're not really emitting that strong of a signal. Even if you are picking it up, even if your phone, for example, shows other people's Wi-Fi networks coming through, they're not that strong of a signal. The one thing you have to worry about is the antennas. And it will tell you the antennas and how far in the radius of these antennas around your apartment building or house.
It cut out for a moment. Where do people go to figure out where antennas are?
So an amazing resource is called antennasearch.com. Okay. If you go on antennasearch.com, it will tell you the towers and the antennas around you. And, you know, you'll see which ones are the more powerful ones. And those are the things that you should be concerned with, because that's constant radiation. The Wi-Fi from neighbors is not as strong of a signal. And usually for Wi-Fi, you have to have amplifiers in your home. But the one advice I give about this is to never have any modems in your bedroom. So to try and keep your home as Wi-Fi, especially your bedroom, as Wi-Fi free and EMF free as possible. I always advise people to hardwire their homes and put, especially if you have small children in the nursery, have a cable that plugs into your phone if you want to be on your phone. But really my advice to moms is that if you're breastfeeding, you should not be on your phone. Your device should be away. Moms today complain about not producing enough milk. And partly it's because we become disengaged, because breastfeeding is meant to be a connection between two individuals, the baby and the mom. When you look at the baby, you are experiencing this, you know, oxytocin that's pulsating through your body. It's a chemical that your brain releases that, you know, makes your body literally produce the milk. So when you are disengaged, if you're stressed, if you are on your phone, especially if you're not sleeping at night, you know, it is not making you happy. And you are not lactating, you're not producing enough milk. So it's kind of a vicious circle. And then the phones also contribute to our mental space and our mental health, like social media companies constantly making you feel FOMO, constantly making you feel like you don't look right, you're not, you know, skinny enough. It is a constant feeling of like, I'm not good enough. So they're horrible what they're doing to our mental state. So especially for new moms who are so vulnerable, new moms by nature are not meant to sleep a lot at night, and that's a normal thing. Baby is supposed to wake you up because they are adjusting to this new world. They are supposed to breastfeed, and we think that, oh my God, we need to sleep at night. Our babies need to sleep at night. They're not. Babies aren't supposed to sleep at night. Babies are supposed to breastfeed on demand when they feel hungry, when their body tells them they need to eat. And it is difficult, but you know what? When you take your phone away and you put it away and you focus on your baby during those beautiful breastfeeding moments or skin on skin moment, your body will produce a happy hormone, a happy chemical, and it will make you feel not tired. It'll make you feel happy. It'll make you feel blissful. It'll make you feel like you're floating on air, and all those troubles and worries go away. But when you don't have that, when you have that disconnect, all it's doing is piling up and piling up and making you you know, have more severe postpartum depression or anxiety and feeling like you're inadequate, and coupled with in the States is one of the, you know, few societies that I know where you really have no help at all. There's not a culture of helping a new mom. You know, in my culture in Russia, family always steps in. It doesn't matter what class segment you come from, your grandmother, your mother, your sister, they'll take turns coming and cooking for you, cleaning, helping with a baby. You know, my friend, for example, who's Macedonian, her mom moved in with her and she took the baby during the night, and she's, you know, would put the baby down after the baby would awake. She would breastfeed her and then she'd shush the baby down and give her to her. So she'd do the nights and sleep during the day while she was, you know, able to get more sleep at nighttime. So it's everywhere. There's this support system that exists, except for like United States, where women are just literally left on their own devices, to their own devices. For about a week, you have friends coming and checking on you or bringing you food, and then that's it. And that's, you know, if you've got good friends that are caring. And, you know, you're cooking, you're cleaning, you're breastfeeding the baby, and you are, you know, around the clock. And some moms also pump because they're worried about their milk supply. So literally it is like, it is exhausting on a new mom. And the support network doesn't exist, and it's awful. And then, you know, on top of that, you're sitting on social media feeling like, you know, oh, this mom has got it all. You know, she's looking great. She just gave birth, and look at her. She doesn't even have it. She's got a flat tummy. And like, here I am with, you know, all this loose skin. Makes me feel terrible about myself. So like, you know, it's just, this white noise from society when it comes to moms specifically, is like, I feel very passionate about, like, is all this information.
Well, it's the toxins coming in from media, from our thoughts. So toxins can come in so many forms. And I think you just touched beautifully on this aspect of connection with a new mom and a baby, connection to what's going on internally, accessing what we have inside of us naturally that gets us through that newborn period when there's a lot of sleepless nights. And if you are disconnected from that, it's going to affect your natural protection that we have within us all. And then you're going to have effects from that, like you said, with depression, and then that creates a whole other problem. So I couldn't have said it better. I'm glad that you said it, because we do need to kind of get back to this whole connectedness. And I love the fact that that you are not only talking about products for people, but I can tell from listening to you, it's more than your products. You know, it's about the whole lifestyle and passion and bringing like-minded moms together for community and being a place for them to go to that they can trust, because they know you're not just paying lip service. You're not just getting something from a company that, if you are saying, I'm putting this company on my website, it's because I have done the work and I think that their ethics, their products, everything that they stand for and the product they're putting out is going to help you with raising a healthy, happy baby and contribute to that positive lifestyle. But you're right, it's not just about products, it's about everything that we're doing. And sometimes we just need to step away from that. And I couldn't agree with you more about getting out in nature, getting away from social media, having actually face-to-face time with people, which
so rare today.
Was not great as it was in the first place, but now it's even worse.
Well, I do have to say one positive aspect of the social media. You mentioned that you have articles on your website. Do you also have links to genuine support groups for, especially, I guess, in the United States, you know, some of these new moms do feel alone. Either they're away from their parents for whatever reason, they don't have a good support system. Do you also have access, or have you looked into genuine good support groups for these new moms?
This is something that another point that I felt always so passionate about, and I tried so hard to create some sort of engagement. But the problem is that it is such a taboo topic for moms to talk about their issues and their problems. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to be the first to share. Everybody feels like they are a disappointment when they say, nobody even talks about things like miscarriage. I had a miscarriage between my two boys, and it was the most alienating experience. It was awful. It was horrible. Even though it was only 8 weeks, it was a tremendous trauma. And until I went through that experience, I didn't even know that close people in my circles have gone through the same experience and never shared it with me. So we as moms try to be this image of perfection all the time, when it's actually not, you know, motherhood is not perfect by any means. I make mistakes every day with my children, and I tell myself, I did that wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have spoken to him this way. I should have done better today. But it's all about recognizing it and trying to make it better the next day and trying to do better the next day. And we as women don't share. So it's been like something that I've been so passionate about that I really want to do. I want to create this safe space. And I haven't been able to. I don't really know how to encourage moms. So we write these articles, and then we get emails and letters from women who will say, this resonated, thank you so much. You know, or I meet women and they'll share this with me. But you know, I've struggled creating this sort of space where women can come and say, I'm, because, you know, of course, nobody would ever share who they are. It would have to be anonymous. But, you know, get them to talk. I think we as moms are so sensitive because of society creating this fake standard for what we have to be like, what, you know, what motherhood looks like. So, you know, then, you know, if you do anything different, like, for example, I have a 3-year-old that I'm still breastfeeding. You know, this is like, people think and look at it as weird, or the fact that we co-sleep with our children. You know, we built a bed that would fit all of us, all 5 of us in the bed, because, you know, we ordered a non-toxic custom mattress that would fit all of us, because we feel strongly about, you know, this creating this connection with our children. So, and it's looked upon as weird and strange. And I've always been so vocal and so passionate about, you know, I follow nature and I nurture, and I'm very much like I let my child lead, and I just follow. That's not to say that I don't make mistakes because of my own personal upbringing, and I don't carry stigmas of my own personal upbringing that I fight with within myself every day and try to do better. But, you know, those things I feel very strongly about. And, you know, I get stigmatized by the society by choosing to do things differently. So it's hard for women to, especially when they're vulnerable, especially when they're new moms, and they are so vulnerable when you have that first newborn baby, your hormones are all over the place. But I'm so passionate about doing that and creating something. I would love to do something like that.
Well, I think by you coming on here, you're actually facilitating that, because we like to have these open, honest communication about what, you know, what it really is like to be a mother in the trenches. We're not perfect. It's an on the job training. I can't speak right now for some reason. Each 3 of my children are different, and so sometimes how I would parent one would be different how I would parent another, and some things would be okay. Well, I tried that. That didn't work. Let's try something else. It's definitely, we're not perfect. And when things would go on and I would say something or do something that I didn't feel good about, I would then go to my child and say, you know what? I didn't like how I did that, but I'm human. I'm still learning and trying. And, you know, this is, nobody's perfect. And I'm doing the best I can, and I still make mistakes. And I would like to try and not have that situation happen again. And so I think recognizing that and coming back around and just saying, okay, you know what? Everybody makes mistakes. So we just try to do better. And I think it's a learning curve. and a learning situation for our children too, to know that we're doing what we can and we're not perfect, and that's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah, it really is.
And so, well, and that's, I didn't even expect you to bring up the mental toxicity of some of the stuff that goes on. So that was perfect, because that's something that, again, doesn't get looked at. It's not a feasible thing for some people. So thank you so much for that.
So many good points. Yeah. I love this conversation with you. This is real conversations. This is, you know, this is moms. This is our life.
Yeah. And speaking of, so what last bit of advice do you as a mother want to give to any new moms or pregnant moms or just, yeah.
Or moms thinking of having babies.
Any last piece of advice in general that you want to impart to your wisdom?
So I get asked this question often, and one of the best advices that I received, and an advice I always give to every new mom, is that you have to follow your intuition. You have to listen to that inner voice. You have to listen to your gut. You as a mom know best. There's no same two children out there. Everybody's experience, everybody's journey is different. Your journey will be different. Listen to yourself. You will know best. The moment you stop listening to everybody around you trying to tell you what to do is the moment you will gain that power, that strength, and that confidence. So listen to yourself. That's the biggest, I think, the biggest turning point for me, you know, in my motherhood journey, is when somebody gave me that advice and I started doing it, and that's when all my worries fell off. And then I like to just give an advice on several books for people to read for new mothers. There's three of my favorite books. One is somebody who's my doctor/doula, who is unbelievable. She wrote a book called The Gentle Birth Method. Her name is Gauri Motha. She's incredible. She's like my fairy godmother. She was with me for every single birth of every child of mine. And second book is The Other Baby Book. I can't remember the names of the authors, but it's in a fantastic book. It's basically from a point of view of like everything that society tells you, and here's a different point of view. And then an Ina May Gaskin, but anything by Ina May Gaskin is amazing. But I think the one that I really liked was Spiritual Midwifery. And then two important books for not new moms, but just for any mom, any parent, is one, actually for any human living on this planet. One is called Body Electric. If you guys haven't read this, you have to read this. It's by Dr. Becker. And the second is called Going Somewhere, A Life in Science by Dr. Anthony Marino. And Dr. Anthony Marino worked with Dr. Becker. Dr. Becker was the first person to study EMF, and he studied body electricity and how we are all electric beings, and it's just mind-blowing. And Dr. Peter Marino was with Dr. Becker. They were the first scientists to study EMF's effects on our bodies. So those are very important books for our generation.
That's fantastic. Very Thank good. You so much for sharing that.
So how do people find you online? How do they find The Tot online?
It's just www.thetot.com, or on Instagram, it's The Tot, at The Tot.
We'll post them. Easy. Post them in the podcast.
We're
going to
post
for
it.
Sure.
Yeah. I just wanted to say it on the podcast.
Absolutely.
Thank you, guys. I don't even have my light on. So as the sun is setting here, I think I'm getting darker and darker. My room is getting darker and darker. So I apologize.
That's okay.
No, it's actually okay. Because I think we've had such an amazing discussion. You've had such a treasure trove of information to give. And I know that you're going to help so many new moms, find your site, find these products, make a real difference in their lives. This is definitely going to click with people. It's clicking with me, who I'm in a health practice, and I didn't even consider, like, oh yeah, curtains, those should be looked at, like the rug, of course. So sometimes it just takes that little extra push, that little extra realization. So thank you again so much for coming on here today and talking with us.
And I can't wait till I have grandkids so I can shop at The Tot. You've made it so easy now. Now I feel confident. I don't need to check anything. I can just go with confidence, go on the tot, do my shopping, and get on with my day. I love it. Thank you so much.
That's the point. That's what we're trying to do. Thank you, guys. Thanks for your time.
And we're back after having a really incredible discussion with Nasiba Adilova, whose company, The Tot, provides eco-conscious products for babies and for new moms. And one thing she really touched upon that really resonated with me was the inclusion of all the products in your nursery. So it's not just looking at the toys. It's not just looking at what goes in baby's mouth. It's the actual environment, because some of these chemicals do permeate through the air. Now, living in Los Angeles, we're bombarded with enough toxins in the environment that we can't control, but we can control what goes into our homes. So one thing that I do want to mention is that often people talk about pricing, affordability. And so when it comes to that, I would rather go with quality over the cost, especially in the case of when you're raising this newborn child. You want to provide the best possible environment for them to grow and for them to thrive. And so to have all those chemicals in that environment trumps any price. And so even if it starts as small as just the bed that they're laying on, any little thing makes a difference. So again, when considering what you're going to buy for your child, sometimes the cost doesn't matter in the long run when you think about it.
Well, just I couldn't agree more on that. And it's this whole aspect of, do you spend money now on high quality, non-toxic products, similar to buying organic food? People are buying organic food that may cost a bit more than conventionally grown food, but because you perceive that that has a health benefit and a value, you go, okay, I'm going to spend that little bit more now. Good quality food does cost a little bit more versus like a cheaper fast food product, but you go, okay, I'll spend a little bit more now. I'm going to enjoy good health. And that not only will cost less money in the long run, because you're going to throw your money later on at your health. You're not going to feel well. So you lose your health. You don't have a good quality of life. And the same thing goes for children, because their system is developing. So their bodies that are growing and developing are more vulnerable, at least twice as much, maybe even more than adults. So you take this newborn baby, put them in a chemical cocktail stew of toxins by putting them in a bed inundated with chemicals. They're breathing in the air full of chemicals that are off-gassing. And then you're giving them products that they're putting in their mouths and ingesting. We talked about water that you're bathing them in. That gets absorbed into their skin, and then the water they're drinking. So the more we can do to mitigate how many toxic chemicals we bring into our home, from cleaning products to what you're putting on their body to what you're putting into their space that they're living in, is going to go a huge way to, number one, their health, so that they don't have health issues. Because if they do have health issues, you're going to spend more money on them. You're going to spend more money on asthma and allergies and taking them to the doctor for ear infections. Maybe there's a surgery in there to remove adenoids or put tubes in the ears. And then maybe they start having delay in milestones because their neurologic system isn't wiring and connecting as it should.
Because those chemicals can interfere with neurological development.
Absolutely. Many of them are very neurotoxic to the brain. And then possibly later on, they're toxic to hormones. So maybe they're going to be having hormonal issues that you start throwing money at. And then who knows later on down the line as they grow up, whether it be cancers or other health issues. I mean, this is the thing, is that it's like a domino effect. And if we can get to things early, spend a little bit more money, don't buy as much, invest in good quality items, don't have as much stuff around, right? We don't need all this stuff.
As she said, there are some things where it's like, you really don't need that for your baby to have a good environment.
Yeah. I mean, initially you need a car seat. try to get one as non-toxic as possible. So you're going to go to the TOT because she's done the work for you, people. Come on. I mean, that's worth so much money in the first place. So you need a car seat. You need a stroller. I prefer strollers that lay completely flat for newborn babies because you don't want them in that reclined position for their spine and their development. So I do like that. A stroller that can convert to an incline as they get older. That's it. That's really the only two things that you absolutely need as far as contraptions. Sure, a changing table is nice if you want that in the room, but you can use other surfaces, and everything else you do not need. Some really nice place to lay them down so that they can move their bodies. And that is it. But there are certain things that are worth it. This is one of them. And I hope that you will explore the TOT website for either your children or your grandchildren as gifts for baby showers and start letting people know by doing this, by shopping. Number one, it's telling companies to make these products. And number two, you're educating the people around you about how important it is to trying to live as much of a non-toxic lifestyle as possible. Anything else to add, Dr. Toxel?
No, I think we couldn't possibly add any more to this right now. Yeah.
All right, great. Well, thank you for joining us, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.